Hello and welcome back to The Author Show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Sonia Pressman Fuentes, and she is the author of Eat First, You Don't Know What They'll Give You. Sonia was born in Berlin, Germany, and came to this country as a five-year-old child with her immediate family to escape the Holocaust. In this country, she became a founder of the second wave of the women's movement, founder of NOW, the National Organization for Women, FEW, which is the Federally Employed Women, and other nationwide and local women's rights organizations. She's a lawyer, an author, and a public speaker. She spent 36 years as an attorney and executive with the federal government and two multinational corporations. She traveled to many parts of the world as an American specialist, speaking on the women's rights movement and meeting with representatives of women's groups, business, labor, academia, and government for the then USIA. She's the recipient of many awards and honors, including being recognized in 2008 by the Veteran Feminists of America as one of the 36 feminist attorneys who made significant contributions to the women's rights movement in the 63 to 75 time period. Sonia, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Don.
Well, it's great to have you. So how and when did you become a founder of NOW?
Well, I became a founder of NOW in 1966. How is more of a long story. To make it shorter, I gave Betty Friedan the idea for founding an organization, which subsequently became NOW, when she visited the offices of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, where I was the first woman attorney in the office of the general counsel. And subsequently, at a meeting in June of 1966, of the Commissions on the Status of Women in Washington, D.C., and in October of 1966, NOW was formed.
So what were the particular circumstances that led to this, the two of you kind of getting your heads together on it?
Well, one circumstance was that the EOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, was created by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to process complaints of discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. And the prohibition against sex discrimination came in during the latter part of the legislative debate on the bill. And when the act went into effect on July 2, 1965, the 100 or so people then working at the commission didn't really enforce the sex discrimination prohibitions of the act for two reasons. First, most of those people came out of the civil rights movement for African Americans, and they didn't want the commission's time and resources diverted to issues of sex discrimination. And secondly, the issues of sex discrimination raised difficult issues for interpretation, which were not raised by issues of race discrimination. And so the people at the commission really didn't know how to handle those issues. So for the first year or year and a half of the commission's existence, it wasn't doing very much with regard to discrimination against women. And that led to my frustration and to my talking to Betty Friedan about the need to form an organization to fight for women like the NAACP fought for African Americans.
So how many NOW founders were there?
There were 49.
And do you have any idea how many of them survive today?
I do, because this past December and January, I decided to do some research on who the founders were, how many were still alive, where they were located, that kind of thing. And that's when I concluded that there were 49 founders. I was able to find out information on 42 of those 49, and of those 42, to my knowledge, 9 survive.
So, I mean, silly question, but I mean, other than you being a woman, I guess, what led to your interest in women's rights?
Well, it's really the story of my life. As you read, I was born in Berlin, Germany, and had to flee for my life with my family because of Nazism and the Holocaust. So that gave me an interest in discrimination and discrimination against Jews. When I came to the United States, my family used to drive to Florida for the winter, and I saw the tremendous discrimination against African Americans in the South with regard to segregated benches and buses and water fountains. and restrooms, so that gave me an interest in discrimination based on race. And then as a woman and as someone who came to work at the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, I also developed a very strong interest in discrimination based on gender.
So how do you feel about the changes that have taken place in the United States involving women's rights since NOW was founded?
Well, I feel terrific about them. Yesterday, in preparation for this interview, I made a list of the changes in women's status that has taken place in the United States since 1963. And I'm tremendously impressed with what has happened. You know, before 1963, women in this country had no rights whatsoever except for the right to vote. And starting in 1963 with the Equal Pay Act, which became effective in 1964, and then Title VII, and all the other legislation and executive orders and changes and pressure by NOW, there have been a tremendous amount of changes in this country. It's really nothing less than a revolution in the legal rights of women.
Right. Well, we live in the good old U.S. of A., and things are maybe, or certainly, different in other parts of the world. What do you view as the major issues facing the United States now?
Well, I made a list of those also, but there are plenty of issues facing the United States now, and some of them are the fact that we don't have any paid maternity and paternity leave in this country. As of January 1st, 2011, when a change in Australia's law goes into effect, the United States will be the only industrialized nation in the world not to provide for paid maternity leave. Another problem which is related to that is the lack of affordable, quality child care. A study was just released this week by the National Association of Child Care Resource and Referral Agencies that indicates that the annual cost of child care in 40 states in our country surpasses the cost of a year's tuition and fees at a four-year public college. Another big issue is violence against women, human trafficking, sex trafficking, and other trafficking, poverty, hunger, and homelessness. These are all women's issues. Women in the military, while they've made progress, except for the Coast Guard, in all the services, women are still restricted from serving in certain positions and certain units are closed to them. They're barred from joining certain combat branches. In addition, sexual assaults, including rapes in the military, is a very serious problem. And in most cases, offenders get only a reduction in rank or reduced pay. Women in prison have serious problems. They're the victims of rape and other sexual assaults. Frequently get inadequate medical care, including in connection with pregnancy. We still don't have adequate representation of women in political life. Only 17% of the members of our House of Representatives and the Senate are women. We still have unequal pay, and the gap between men's and women's earnings widened a little bit between 2007 and 2008. Women now earn about 77% of what men earn. And while that's better than it used to be, which was 59%, it's still not where it needs to be. And this makes a tremendous difference over a lifetime. Maternal health care and maternal mortality are problems in the United States. We rank 40th out of 181 countries with regard to maternal mortality. We have too high a rate of cesareans in this country, too high of a rate of induced labor, and we need a greater use of midwives. We have not yet ratified the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution, and we have not yet approved CEDAW, which is the UN's convention to eliminate all forms of discrimination against women. So that gives you a summary of some of the principal issues facing women today.
So you take all of that together, it seems mind-boggling. It's overwhelming. Where do you start?
You tackle all of them. They're all different areas where women are suffering, and they all need to be dealt with.
What is the significance of the title of this book?
Well, it also has a subtitle. The subtitle is The Adventures of an Immigrant Family and Their Feminist Daughter. But the title, Eat First, You Don't Know What They'll Give You, is an expression that my mother used, and since my book is suffused with humor, I gave it a humorous title. My mother was concerned that when I went out to eat with friends or to a restaurant or at someone's home, that I would not be getting the kind of good kosher food that she prepared with love for me in our home. So when I was going out to dinner, she wanted me to eat a complete dinner home first to be sure I had a good meal.
That's great, man. I've never heard that before. That's wonderful. So have you always been a writer?
No. Well, I'm saying writing was not always my primary occupation, which it isn't today either, but more than it used to be. I've always written since the age of 10 when I wrote a poem that was published in the Miami Herald. So I've always written essays, articles, speeches, but after I retired from the federal government, it became more of an occupation of mine, and of course I published my memoir, but in addition to being a writer today, I'm also a public speaker, and I'm very involved as a feminist activist.
In which activities are you involved?
Oh, well, you said this whole program only has 15 minutes, so I can't tell you about all my activities.
Come on, tell us just a couple. How's that?
All right, I'll give you a couple. I live in Sarasota, Florida, and I'm co-chair of the Sarasota chapter of Americans United for Separation of Church and State. I'm an honorary member of the Sarasota chapter of the Florida Association of Women Lawyers. I'm a member of the local chapter of NOW. I'm a member of the local Democratic Club. I just joined a luncheon group called Tiger Bay. I usher for two theaters in town, the Banyan Theater and the Florida Studio Theater. I'm a member of the Sarasota chapter of the American Jewish Committee, and I'm a member of the Sarasota chapter of the Brandeis University National Committee. I'm a commissioner with the Sarasota Commission on the Status of Women. That should be enough.
So you really don't have anything to do all day, right?
Right.
Okay, time's getting short. So in your opinion, who should buy this book and read it?
Everybody. It's a funny book. It's an interesting book. Everybody should read it.
And the most important question, where can we buy this book?
You can get it from Amazon.com or my publisher, exlibris.com.
This has been just great and very enlightening. Our guest today has been Sonia Pressman Fuentes, and she is the author of Eat First, You Don't Know What They'll Give You. Sonia, thanks very much for being with us today.
It's been a pleasure.